Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Wednesday, 17th of Shvat, 19th of January, Rabbi Eli Pick, How Others Falsify Our Texts. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Family of Lachman Lilinishmas, Rabbi Shayahu Ben, Rabbi Avrom, Shimshon, Zichron Lebrocho, whose Yahrzeit was on Sunday, Lilinishmas, Moras Sora Roiza, Bas Rabbi Yomin Akohen, Ole Asholem, whose Yahrzeit will be on Friday.
In this week's Parsha, Parshas Yisro, we experience the greatest event ever in the history of all humankind. And that's Mamad Har Sinai. In fact, we are the only faith in the world which can claim revelation on such an amazing scale. So much so that this compelling history is captured by certain other faiths to claim that it's their history. They want to plagiarize. They want to misrepresent themselves and claim that they are the true Jews. But Matan Torah is such an amazing, forceful event witnessed by so many millions of people that the Nisim of Matan Torah were greater than the Nisim of Siyas Mitzrayim, says Rav Yosef Alba. That is the amazing thing we experience in this week's Parsha. Now, we live in a Malchus Shel Chesed, so we're not going to criticize Christian people. We have our Gentile friends who behave very civilly and so on, apart from Ofsted, of course. We are enjoying living in the United Kingdom, which has given a refuge, especially post-Nazi generation. But they have been misled. They have been misled by their leaders, who their founders being fraudsters, as you will see today. So whilst we show no animosity, we do resent their missionary work. Best not to argue with these people, but if you do get caught up with them, then I can tell you one or two things to say. Sadly, they go more for the lonely and the vulnerable people, but if you'll just look at a few pasukim, because there are really hundreds, if not thousands of examples where they misrepresent, mistranslate in order to suit their narrative. Throughout the Tanakh. So, as we go through certain phrases, and you do have a handout in front of you, and people who are listening remotely should ideally have a Tanakh in front of them, and I will quote the references where you can look up the text as we speak. And you will find that when we look at the translations, it's the Jewish translations which get the tick, and the Christian translations which get the cross. The Haftarah of this week, also full of drama, talks about King Ochaz, who was a wicked king, but his son Chizkiah was a very righteous king and did a lot of good for Klal Yisrael. He was an amazing king who did everything possible to increase Torah learning in Klal Yisrael. Every child below the age of 13 or 12 knew all the dinim of Tahara, Turma and Tahara. That's how learning increased. And Chazal say in the Gemara Sanhedrin Tzadi Dalet, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Chizkiah Mashiach. There was even a plan that he would become the Mashiach because he fulfilled nearly all the criteria. What happened? The Assyrians were invading. They were taking up, they were invading the whole of northern Israel and coming into Or Yehuda as well. And they were threatening Yerushalayim. And there was no way physically that they could be beaten. They came with 185,000 soldiers surrounding Yerushalayim to attack it. So what did Chizkiah do? The only thing which he could do, he went into the Beis HaMikdosh and he davened so hard, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to save Yerushalayim. Overnight, all 185,000 soldiers died. This is probably the greatest miracle of all since Yetzias Mitzrayim, maybe the sun standing still for Yeshua, but an amazing nace. They looked over the city walls and they were all lying there, dead. The Malach HaMoves, in one night, killed them all, except Sancheriv, who went back only to face the wrath of his family, and they killed him. It was an amazing experience. Chazal say that if Chizkiah would have sung a Shira, then the Shiach would have been coming right then. He made the mistake that no Shira was sung, just like we had in last Shabbos, the Shira, which showed our HaKoros HaTov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was his mistake. So Mashiach did not come. So that is the background to our first pasuk, which we're quoting from Yeshayahu Perek Tes, which is from the end of this week's Haftarah. Ki yeled yulad lonu bein nitan lonu vatihi hamisrael shechmo vaykroshmo pelet yoyitz el gibor aviad sar shalom. So the Novi Yeshaya is giving comfort to the king Achaz. He's saying, look, you don't have to worry. A child is on its way. The woman is already pregnant. Right? She has already conceived. That relates to our next example. A child, here he says, a child has been born to us. So here in this pasuk, in Perek Tes, the child is already born. The Mefarshim explained it's Chizkiah. A child has been given to us. A dominion was placed on his shoulder. And, using the English, the Mefarshim explained that the first four qualities are talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Chizkiah would be called the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. What do the Christians come along and do? They say they change the tense. The tense from has been born, they say a child is born, as if to suggest he will be. There are one or two which write, will be born. And a child is given. The government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called. They put it into the future tense. Now the word yulad occurs 14 times in Tanakh. And in all these cases, it's in the past tense. Not just past, but past in the past. What we call the pluperfect. Yulad, 14 times. And just on this occasion, the Christian translation changes the tense. In the other occasions, the Christian translations leave it as the past tense. But here they change it, just in order to suit their narrative. And this word nitan is also the past tense, given. It's in the Nifal. Again, there are 14 other examples of this word in Tanakh. In Vayikra, in Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, Esther, and even according to the Christian translations. In all those other cases, they are put in the past tense. Now, if you would want to put these words in the present or future tense, you would say, a child is born, you would say, nolad or meyulad. If you want to say will be born, you'll say yivaleid. If you want to say will be given, it will be yinosein. It's quite clear from anyone who knows the basics of Hebrew grammar and conjugations that they have mistranslated through and through. And how they got away with it is hard to explain. The word vatahi. Anyone who knows the basics of Hebrew grammar knows about the vav ahipuch, the vav conversive, where the va changes the tense of the word from the future to the past. Vatahi is past. And the word vayikra, we also have in this pasuk. Everyone knows vayikra means and he called. Vayikra occurs 205 times in Tanakh, 4 times in Yeshayah. And in all those other cases, the Christian translations put it in the past tense. But just here, they put it into the future tense. Now, I have to say to you with regret that the Art Scroll translation in the Stone edition is not correct and has adopted the Christian translation by writing the words will rest on his shoulders. The Sonsino is also a bit erratic here. It does not mean that. It is the past tense. So that's our first example. The next example we've got is also from Yeshayah, Perek Zayin, so it's a bit earlier. And so this is where Chizkiah was conceived, but I started with Yeshayah Tes because it's this week's Haftarah. So there in Yeshayah, Perek Zayin, L'chein yitein adonoyu l'chem os hineo al mohara v'yoled esbein v'karos shemo Immanuel. Perek Zayin, posuk yudalad, the Christians jump on this. And they claim that Ha'almo is talking about the woman who is a virgin who we call Basula. Basula is the correct Hebrew word for somebody who is a virgin. But Alma means a young woman, a maiden. And it occurs a number of times in Tanakh, like Bereshis Chafdalad Mem Gimel, with Rivka, the Almo Hayot Seis Lishov, or in Shemos Beis Vatelech Ha'almo Vatikor Es Eim Hayoled, for getting the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. Alma is a young woman. All the Mefarshim agree this. So here, what does the Pasuk say? The actual translation is that Alma, Horom. Horom is an adjective word, means his pregnant. In the verbal form, it could mean in a different context in the masculine, but that doesn't mean that here. And if you just look at the different words for Horom, if Horom would be in the future tense, then you would have the conjugation ahare, tahare, tahari, yare, and she will conceive would be tahare. That would be the correct Hebrew. But it doesn't say she will conceive. It says she has conceived. Horo, she has become pregnant. All right, the Oled of Spain, she will bear a son. The Koros, Shemo in monorail. The Koros is speaking to a woman in the singular form. Feminine, singular, second person, the Koros. You will call him. And the Christians, they change it, not here, but in other texts, they stick in the word they will call him. Imanu Kael, Hashem is with us.
Who is saying this pasuk to who?
Right, so the Novi is saying this.
To
King Ochoz, that a child is going to be born, and this is referring to Chizkiel. The Mefarshim should explain how this is Chizkiel. But what the Christians do then is they want to say from the examples we've just shown that they have this Messiah who's a Prince of Peace and that there is a virgin birth, and then we come along to Tehillim Perek Chof Beis. And there in Pasuk Yuzayin, Kisavavuni Kalovim Adas Marem Hikifuni Ko'ari Yodai V'Ragloi. Now I've put in a comma here after Ko'ari, because if you look at the musical notes, you've got on Ko'ari an Azog Geirish, which is a pausal. So you don't have a Mercho Tipcho to join it up with the last two words. It's separate. What is this saying? Dogs have surrounded me, evildoers have enclosed me like the prey of a lion on my hands and feet. So the Christians jump on this and they say, aha, this is the crucifixion. They say, they pierced my hands and feet. Now, how do they get from the word ko'ari, which means like a lion, to they pierced? So what they do is they say, well, actually, the Yud is really a Vav at the end of the word. They say, if you look at the Dead Sea Scrolls, it's a Vav. Well, you need to go to Specsavers to check what the Dead Sea Scrolls are really saying. But even if it is a Vav, there is no word in the Hebrew language, Chof, Aleph, Resh, Vav. It doesn't exist. So what they say is, well, we'll drop the Aleph, and we'll say Koru, Chof, Resh, Vav. And Koru means they dug. It means to dig with a spade. And I could prove that to you, because if you look at Tehillim in chapter 7, verse 16, it says there, Bo Koro, he has dug a pit. So you take a spade. And the important message here is, let's call a spade a spade. To dig is not the same as to pierce. There are much better words in the Hebrew language to say they pierced. You could say rotsu, like you have in Mishpatim with the Eved Ivri. The rotso, adonoves osno, bamartseya. You got it in the noun there as well. The idea of resh tzadi, rotso, hey, in Mishpatim, they pierced. Or you could say dokru, you could say chodru, you could say nokvu. All these Hebrew words means they pierced. But this is not the word in our posuk. Well, we don't even have Koru in our posuk, but they twist it so much to say, well, they were digging. So they say, well, it doesn't just mean digging, it means piercing. Drop the Aleph, turn the Yud into a Vav, and hey, presto, you got the crucifixion. So this is how they mistranslate the posuk in Tehillim Chaf Beis Yud Zayin, which they call the crucifixion psalm. But look at the misrepresentation they commit in order to explain themselves. Anyway, if you pick up a Tanakh, an English translation, and you want to know straight away whether it's a Jewish one or whether it's a Christian one, you can go straight to Perek Beis and Tehillim, and there in Pasuk 12, you look at the translation for Nashguvar, which is our next example. Nashguvar means yearn for purity, or arm yourself with purity, from the word Neshek. Neshek means armor. Var means purity, neki chapaim uvar levov, purity of the heart. Bar can also mean other things like grain, but we don't have to go down that route now. So the translation is, yearn for purity, lest he grow wrathful and your way be doomed, for in a brief moment his anger will blaze, etc. So what do the Christians come along and say? Ah, it nashku can also mean kiss. And var, they say, can mean a son. So they say, this is talking about Yeshua Notzri, kiss the son. And they give the son a capital S. Now, there are a number of problems here, because in all of Tehillim, you don't have any Aramaic words. There are 19,500 words in Tehillim, and not one of them is in Aramaic. Aramaic was used hundreds of years later with Bovel and so on. That was when Aramaic became used. So there's no Aramaic in Tehillim. All right, so they claim that bar, it means the sun. But even if we were to adopt the Aramaic for bar means son of. as we say, bar mitzvah, son of. If you're going to say the son, then the correct Aramaic for the son would stick an aleph on the end. It would be baro, not bar, but baro. And then there's another thing. If you're going to start saying kiss the son, what about the Hebrew word es? S has to be used when you've got the definite article and you've got a transitive verb. So we won't explain all the grammar now, but S is the definite article. So if you would say kiss the son, you would say, you have to say nashku es ha bara, or whatever it is. Well, they dispense with all that. So the word bar meaning purity, does not mean son here. So they say, well, we can take bar and say it means the son. Now, it is amazing because the Radak actually says, look, I don't really have a problem with saying this can mean son. But it doesn't say the son. It says a son. And we are all sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. And particularly David HaMelech, he says, Hashem said to me, you are my son. We're all sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there is a difference between a son and the son. As far as the Radak is concerned, the Chidor, who wrote the Shema Gedolim from all his travels, he says that he went into Paris, into a library, and he found a version of the Radak on Tehillim, which goes into this very subject. He says, I know that I have said that bar might mean son, and I know that the Christians are going to take this and try and use it for their purposes. But then he goes into a whole essay to explain why the whole of Christianity is based on lies, false misrepresentation, and just there's no sense in it whatsoever. You can find this essay in English at the back of the Judaica Press volume of the first volume of Tehillim. He actually writes, the verse they use evidence of their own stumbling block. This is how he refutes what they say. And then our next example, we come to back to Yeshayahu, Perek Nun Gimel. Now Perek Nun Gimel, the whole chapter is regarded as what's called the suffering servant. So the Christians like to take this and say that their leader, their founder, was this suffering servant. That he suffered for the sins of others, for everybody else. So for them, this is a major chapter. What they don't tell you is that there are, in fact, four different servant songs in Yeshayahu. One in chapter 42, one in chapter 49, and then it continues into chapter 50, and then here into 52, Pasuk 13, right through into 53, Pasuk 12. There are four different songs, all called servant songs. And although the word servant is mentioned quite a few times, and it's mentioned 13 times, 8 of those times it refers to Am Yisrael. And all the Mefarshim agree that this is talking about Am Yisrael, the suffering servant. So the Christians say, but it's in singular. Eved is singular. Well, what's the big deal? Shema Yisrael, Yisrael is also singular. We are one people. As we say in this week's Parsha, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahor, the people encamped, Ki Ish Echod Belev Echod. We are a singular people. So we are called the Eved Hashem. So this Pasuk here, in Pasuk Ches of Perek Nun Gimel, talks about, for he was cut off from the land because of, note, I should have put it in bold, because of the transgression of my people, a plague came upon them. What's them? The word nega lomo. Lomo means to them. It's a poetic form of saying lohem. Now this word lomo is quite frequent. The word lomo occurs 55 times in Tanakh. Vayichanan eved lomo. Vazorach miseye lomo. In Vazos HaBrocha you've got it a couple of times. It means to them. And in all other instances you've got this word lomo, the Christians translate it as to them. But just here, they say to him. Now as we all know, the Hebrew for to him is the word lo, or lau if you're Yekish, or loy if you're Hasidish, but we all know what to him is. It's lo. Lomo means to them, and there's no dispute about that, but they change it. And they write the word for the transgression. Have you noticed the very subtle difference between because of in the actual translation and the word for in their translation? They mean different things. Mipesha ami is because of the transgressions of my people. So what is this talking about? This, in fact, the Mefarshim say, are the Goyim speaking at the time of the Shiach, how they regret all the harm that they caused us. The harm that they caused us through the Crusades, the harm from the expulsions, the pogroms, the Inquisition, which went on for hundreds of years, the concentration camps. This is what this pasuk is talking about, as Am Yisrael being the suffering servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what we had to go through. That the plagues came upon them. They are the people Israel. But they want to choose a different word. They say, no, no, it means to him. And they use the word for the transgression. Why? Because they want to say that Yeshua Nosri, he died for your sins. There's no such thing in Yiddishkeit as one person dying because of your sins. We are all accountable for ourselves. So that is, in a nutshell, just a number of a few examples of hundreds and hundreds of different examples. Now the Christians found out that there is one Perush which actually says that this Pasuk might not only be talking about Klal Yisrael, but it's talking about the Mashiach. So they pounce on it. Hey, you see, it's our Messiah, they say. You got the Alshich. The Alshich is a leading Perush in the Vim, Kesuvim, as well as in the Chumash. So let's have a look at the words of the Alshich HaKadosh. He says, yes, four verses might be referring to the Mashiach. He says, Pechod, there is one view. Al Melech HaMashiach Yedaber, that this is talking about the Melech HaMashiach. Ki hu David hu Mashiach Kanoda, who is King David. Because the word Mashiach doesn't just mean the Messiah. It means the anointed one. David HaMelech was the anointed one. So when we talk about David HaMelech, who HaMashiach Kenoda, means he was the anointed king. And that the future Mashiach will come from the Malchus-based David. No doubt about it. And if the Christians really want to quote the Alshich against us, then let's have a look at another Alshich. Let's have a look at the Alshich in Sefer Devarim, in Parshas Shoftim. And there it says on the Pasuk, Al pi hatarah sheyarucha, go according to the laws which Chazal teach you, lo sasum min adavar sheyagudu lecha yamin usmal, don't go to the right, don't go to the left. And Chazal explained to us, even if you're told right is left and left is right, that's what the Pasuk's talking about. The powers of Chazal. What does the Alshich say on this Pasuk? Something absolutely amazing. He says that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, 300 halachas were forgotten. And the people were crying. They didn't know what to do. Yeshua was worried they would lynch him. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was silent. So Kalev stood up in the middle of the crisis and said, whoever can work out what these 300 halachas were will merit my daughter's hand in marriage. Well, that's something to work for. Asniel sat down and he worked out the Derech Drush, what these forgotten 300 halachas were. Now you can ask the question, Yeshua was talking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in dialogue with the Nevi'im generally. Why couldn't Yeshua simply get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, speak to him, even without a mobile, and you say, what were these halachas? Tell us what they were, could you remind us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu remained silent. He would not utter a single word. Says the Alshich HaKadosh that since Moshe Rabbeinu died, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not utter a single word of halacha. It was just the Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah Tzivalonu Moshe. Afterwards, Al Pi HaTorah She'erucha. It goes according to the way Chazal teach you. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never say another word of halacha again. Why not? Because otherwise people will come along and say, oh, God appeared to me. I had visions. He told me it's all changed now. Then you'll get coming along, the Yeshua HaNotzi, you get the Muhammads and you get the others and say, I had visions. It's all changed now. The day of rest is the first day of the week, not the seventh day of the week. So for that reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never, ever say a single word of halacha again. So nobody could say Hashem spoke to me. Because Hashem doesn't speak to anybody about halacha except Moshe Rabbeinu. That's an amazing piece of Alshich. And looking at this week's Parsha, we've got the Aseres Hadibros, perhaps the highlight of our Seder this week. So the Christians claim that they follow what we call the Ten Commandments. If you look very closely at the small print, you'll see how they change that as well. The Catholic Ten Commandments, they miss out number two. You may not have a graven image. Doesn't suit them. Well, they have to have graven images, so they cross it out. Ah, but then you're only left with nine commandments. What do you do? So what do? They take the last Lo Sachmod, which is two kinds of Lo Sachmod, and they change one commandment into two in order to make up the number 10. So this is how they fabricate it. You've got here plagiarism. You've got here fraudulent misrepresentation. It's unbelievable how they get away with it. In fact, the way that Christianity was founded is the biggest confidence trick in all history. And you can even ask the question, if they base themselves on the sources of our Torah, why don't they teach Hebrew in their schools? Why do they bother themselves with Latin and Greek and Spanish? If they're so conscientious about preaching from our Chumash, then why don't they teach Hebrew in their schools? Because they're worried that the kids who learn Hebrew in the schools will wake up and they'll realize just from simple conjugations of future tense and past tense, simple verbs, that it will be discovered. The rule of S, all these simple grammatical rules in the Hebrew language, they have thrown out the window. So we daven that we should reach a time very soon in the future, Umolah or Estea, that the land will be filled with proper knowledge, Umolah or Estea, that people will recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah is MS, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS, the Sakin Olam B'Malchus Shakai, the Chol B'nei Bosa Yikru B'Shmecho, that all mankind will come to recognize that Hashem is the only one. Thank you very much.